Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the third Sunday in Advent. Thank you for making it here this morning, braving the cold and the snow. I always appreciate those who are able to come and hear the word and rejoice in our salvation. Of course, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ not able to be with us here this morning. Of course, stay safe, stay warm, and enjoy the season as best we can. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 in our hymnal. We'll begin that in just a moment. We do have other announcements for the day. Our Sunday School Christmas program is postponed, in case you did not catch that word. That'll take place 1 week from today, still in between our services, starting around 9:40 or 9:45. 1 week from today, regular Bible class and Sunday School hour will take place this morning, and of course, plenty of coffee and donuts for everyone. We begin our worship with our first hymn, hymn 350, Come, Thou Precious Ransom, Come. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, the Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Sorry, we're back to the Kyrie.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing and with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Advent is a season of preparation like that of Lent. The 40 days of Lent prepare us for the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus, so that they are days of reflection upon our sin and repentance for our sin. Advent serves a similar function, as we then meditate on the need for Christ to come into this world, for God's Son taking on our mortal human flesh to win our salvation. And what comes specially for us in this season of Advent, different from the season of Lent, is a bit of respite from the work of preparation. The first word for this Sunday's introit was rejoice, quoting from Philippians chapter 4. The Latin word for rejoice is gaudete, and that is the name given to this Sunday according to the historic lectionary of the church. But what reason do we have to rejoice? Temptations attack us at every turn. Sin spoils our hearts and our minds. Guilt drives us down to the pits of despair. Strife is present amongst our families. Loved ones get seriously sick and die. Surgeries are necessary for healing. Medical treatments bombard family members and friends with chemicals and radiation, weakening their bodies in an effort and in the hope of healing. Finances strain our goodwill, burdening our hopefulness. Stress at work deprives us of peace and of good health. If our hope is in this life only, then we are above all else to be pitied. And it is John the Baptizer who encapsulates these struggles, our own struggles, so well. John himself had been set apart by God from the very moment of his conception. Born into a family with elderly parents, John was raised to be different from the rest. God had told John's father, Zechariah, through the angel Gabriel, that John would indeed be great before the Lord, and he would turn many from the house of Israel back to the right belief in the true God, in the coming promise of the Messiah. And John himself would grow up, and he would be instrumental in making people ready for the coming of the Christ. Later, as we heard in today's gospel text, Jesus called John the greatest of those who are born of women. And yet we find John in prison, incarcerated for preaching the message of repentance to fallen sinners. John was locked up while Jesus was free. John had baptized Jesus, and he had pointed his own disciples to follow Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I must decrease so he may increase. Surely, as we have heard from the text, John himself had heard of all the powerful miracles that Jesus was busy performing. And John had even been there, seen the Spirit of God descend on Jesus like a dove, heard the Father announce, "This is my beloved Son." So what was going on? Why was John still in prison? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? John has serious reservations about Jesus, but still he turns to him for the answer. And Jesus gives him the best. Tell John that the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Yes, John, you remain locked up in prison, but it is necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. No matter how bad your life may be, or how bad it may get, blessed is the one who is not offended by me, Jesus says. John's vision of the Christ was too limited. He was expecting more judgment, more fire and brimstone from Jesus. But Jesus came to deal with our eternal problem. All of the temporal troubles that we face in this life, they will pass away soon enough. And they cannot go beyond the grave. They cannot go with us after death for those who believe in Jesus. So what all mankind needs is the forgiveness of sin. And that is reason to rejoice for John and all the rest. For so long, generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, the faithful people of God waited and waited. Those generations passed, and they held on to the promise of the Messiah who would come. God would come himself and save them. He would become flesh, just like they are flesh. And so those faithful witnessed, the rise and fall of many nations. They witnessed the devastations to their own people of storm and famine. They witnessed in their own lives the suffering and death of dear loved ones. And finally, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Jesus has come. And there he was, present with John. John was there and even baptized the Lord's Christ. Everything now was going to be okay because God was on the scene. But of course, God has always been on the scene. Now he had come there in the flesh to be seen, to be heard, to be touched. Jesus was the living embodiment of the unlimited and uncontainable God. There could be no better time to live. But then came the cross. Jesus had gained great popularity. Crowds and crowds of people followed him at every turn, too many to be numbered. Over 5,000 were fed by him at one time on one day. That was just a fraction of the whole. But then it all came undone. Droves of people left Jesus after his controversial teachings. There was a brief resurgence on Palm Sunday as they welcomed him in to Jerusalem, but then that quickly went south. The crowds turned on him. They even demanded his crucifixion. But Jesus did not resist. He did not fight back. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In that moment, singular moment in all of human history, that of perceived complete failure, was the key to victory. In Christ crucified, all sin is defeated. The holy body of Jesus was filled with all of our sin and all of our death. That sin and that death swallowed up in victory. John the Baptizer, sitting in that prison cell, could not yet see what would take place. And he himself would not live long enough to witness that grandest of events. Even those who did, even those who were there, still did not understand. Even Jesus' own beloved, cherished disciples expected more. The restoration of the independent nation of Israel. But no. Jesus did not come for that. Not that kind of Israel. Jesus came for the true Israel, his own people, for those who believe in him, his beloved saints. And all who hear his gospel, the message of salvation in Christ crucified, can certainly believe and be part of his people, the saints. That alone is its reason enough to rejoice. For sin and death lie defeated. They have no eternal power over you who are baptized, you who belong to Christ, who have his name upon you. That is great reason to rejoice, especially as we reflect now on the birth of our Savior. For that holy night was indeed when God revealed what he had already worked, the incarnation of his beloved Son, the Word, become flesh. Christmas is just that, the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Savior for all the people, the proclamation that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man for us, for our salvation. And Isaiah was given a blessed vision over 600 years before the Christ would finally come. And his words at his time gave hope to his current generation that they would see a sampling of what was still to come. The words from Isaiah 35, our Old Testament text for today, find their fulfillment completely in Jesus Christ. And we will experience all of that reality in the new heavens and the new earth. Even now, we have a taste of these great truths. The wilderness and the dry land are glad. They will rejoice because they see blossoming like never before. Glory and majesty like that of great cities is granted to many places throughout the world. Weak hands are strengthened. Feeble knees are made firm. The anxious are directed toward the strength of God. He will come and he will save you, for he will come with vengeance. The eyes of the blind are opened. Ears of the deaf are unstopped. The lame leap now like the deer. The mutes are singing for joy. Waters break forth in the wilderness with streams flooding in the desert. What a picture. What a future awaits. For wherever Christ is, wherever he goes, his righteousness and blessedness, such glory and majesty truly do follow. Jesus gave that vision, that idea, that image to John, even as he sat in prison. And no doubt John remembered those words, those prophecies from his studies. It is hard to hold on to such beauty, to such promise and such hope when so much is ugliness and suffering around us. Yet that is what our good and gracious God bids us to do. Remember your salvation. Remember the righteous acts of God, as we heard from our intro. For God gives us all that we need to hold on to that full faith, to succeed in trusting in him. For his word, that word remains, and he remains with his word. That word declares that you are saved. You are baptized in his holy name. Everlasting life is yours now and forever. For Christ the Lord has come, and he has come for you. There is no one born of woman greater than John, Jesus said, and yet even the least in the kingdom of God, baptized in his name, is greater than John. That is what we have to look forward to, and that is the greatest reason to rejoice, for you are in Christ's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ's kingdom, to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
and
thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sends your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you again for all of you for making it here this morning. For Keith, I know, coming in from Homer, glad that he was able to do that. Luann, of course, helping with all of our media as well. We give thanks to God for the servants of Christ here at St. John. If you'd like to warm up later this afternoon, 5 o'clock, you can go ice skating at the ice arena on campus. Probably 30 degrees in there, but still 40 degrees warmer than outside. So join us for that, 5 to 7. That is a free event sponsored by our school's PTF, so you're welcome to join us for that. You have Christmas caroling 1 week from today, starting at 3:30 in our fellowship hall. You can join us for that as we get ready for the celebration of Christmas. And of course, poinsettias, if you'd like to still donate those, you can fill out the pink form, turn those into the church office. 1 week from tomorrow is the deadline, so please do make haste to turn those in as quickly as you can. One final midweek service this Wednesday. You can join us for that, 3:30 or 7:15. A meal will be granted to us at 4:30 as well. So we go forth in the name of our Lord, rejoicing in his salvation, his coming to us as the Christ, and we greet each other in his peace.